Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?
Always good to be in Elmira Church. When churches are active, when they feel the mantle of responsibility that God places upon our shoulders to go forth, to spread the word, to help people to come into a knowledge of this end time message, it's an exciting thing to be a part of. And I'm very privileged and happy to be a part of this. Privileged as we become part of what I call today the fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ, the name of the message. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, it's Jesus' voice we long to hear this morning. Jesus' face we long to see. Jesus' character we long to have placed over our own. His robe of righteousness covering our garments of filth. So Lord, this morning as this message is proclaimed, Lord, we just pray that this speaker be hidden behind the cross of Calvary. And we pray that the words that are spoken would reach every heart, every mind. But above all, Lord, may every word find its source in your mind, in your heart, from your throne. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and in the power of his Spirit today. Amen. Amen. We read the scripture verse a while ago about the fragrance of Christ. I'm going to read it to you again quickly. And then I'm going to show you a couple fragrant things. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm reading from another translation, the New International Version. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. That's beautiful. Fragrance. You know, fragrance is one of the most powerful senses, you know. Okay, even more than sight, you know, hearing, things like that, you know. When we can lose sight and hearing, a lot of times we still don't lose that sense of smell. Everybody has a fragrance, okay? You sit close to someone, whether they're wearing some perfume or not. We all have fragrance, okay? We're talking about the fragrance of Christ. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who, he asks, is equal to such a task? Who indeed is equal to such a task? To be called upon to be the very fragrance of Christ in the world. What are we talking about fragrance? Well, I brought a little goodie bag along to illustrate. Is that okay? Use a little illustration from time to time. All right. I got some fragrant things in here. Got some fragrant items. Well, and what shall I pull out first? Well, we went into my son's bedroom. He likes to burn incense. Now, I will not burn down the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay, that's my pledge to you today. But I do like good fragrance. You know, my son doesn't know we stole this from him yet, does he? Okay. He likes to burn this in his room. He keeps a lighter. These are not for smoking cigarettes. Okay? This is just incense. It's going to make it smell nice up here. It's sweetness, a fragrance of good smell. That smoke that permeates. Now I'll tell you, when my son turns this on, you know, lights this up, he closes himself in his room, and it just, the whole house begins to smell this aroma. And after a while, it can be almost overpowering. You know what I mean? It may smell good to a moderate amount, but a little too overpowering sometimes. But it's a good fragrance. Incense. Okay? Some people like to burn incense. It kind of started up in the 70s or 80s, you know, became quite popular. I'm going to put this out in my drinking water just to make sure we don't catch a fire up here. Adds quite a flavor, too. There's another fragrance. Wendy had to look for this. And anybody want this on your bread this afternoon for potluck, you're welcome to have some. Limburger cheese. Whoo! Last time I opened it up, the whole pulpit just reeked for hours afterwards. You know, they say about Limburger cheese, if you put Limburger cheese under your nose, the whole world smells like Limburger cheese, right? Huh? Has to do with attitude. Oh, this, I'd never bought it before, never eaten it before, I don't intend to eat it. It is nasty. Whew, smelling stuff. Bad fragrance. Not the kind of stuff that I would recommend. There are people that like this stuff. Okay, we have special places for them. Limburger cheese, incense, two fragrances, two very different fragrances with very different effects when they are opened up. Now the pulpit's probably going to smell pretty bad for a little while. It's not me, it's a Limburger cheese. All right. Fragrance. You and me are called to be fragrances, okay, in the world. That's the metaphor, that's the word picture that the Apostle Paul paints for us here in the second chapter of Corinthians. We are the fragrance of Christ, a fragrance of life unto some. Those who are accepting, those who receive it, those to whom Christ, the name of Jesus is sweet and a beautiful fragrance, but a fragrance of death to others. You know, you cannot help but be a fragrance, right? You cannot help but be an influence for good or bad wherever you are. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, you can sit there and not say anything. You cannot do anything. You can mind your own business. You can mind your P's and Q's. And you are still a fragrance to someone, somewhere. Someone who is in contact with you. Why is that? Because every one of us have what you would call our circle or our sphere of influence. Every one of us knows people who know us, who watch us, who hear us. And every person that is within this sphere of fragrance or influence, if you will, knows something about us, and we have the capacity of making life better for them or drawing them closer to the Lord Jesus or driving them away. What am I talking about? We are in this world full of influences, full of fragrances. Your fragrance, my fragrance. We are called to be the fragrance of Jesus Christ to a lost world. To a world that's polluted, to a world that's sin-covered, to a world that's corrupted and distorted and twisted and perverted, often in its way of looking at Jesus. To some, a fragrance of life. To others, a fragrance of death. What are we talking about, our fragrance? I'm going to just break it down, simplify it, make it into categories, if I could, okay? The fragrance, for example, of our words. Oh, words? Why, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? Wrong. Words can impact beyond physical attack. Words can hurt. Words can build up. Words can destroy. Words can edify. Words can draw people to God and give them a clearer picture of God. Or words can distort and twist a person's picture of God. That's why James 3 tells us so clearly, you know, guard your tongue. Your tongue's like a little thing. You know, it may be a small rudder, but boy, that little rudder can move the whole ship, right? And all it takes is one, you know, does it ever happen to you over the course of your life? One little misstatement, one little criticism, one little piece of gossip. And oh, how we wish we could take those words back. Too late to take them back. You can apologize. You can say, well, I didn't mean it the way it came out. And you can try to fix a situation. But oh, how often it has happened in our lives. Okay, I'll speak for me. In my life, a word not carefully spoken, a word that's not meant with the best of attitude or intention, a word that's spoken, and once the word is out, you cannot take it back. Right? So our words are part of our fragrance. Do we encourage? Do we affirm? Do we build up? Or do we tear down? Oh, well, what effect can words have, you know? You know, I just am so sick and tired of these people. You know, whether it's this organization, this institute, this church administration, this church pastor, this church academy, this church, let's go home and let's have a nice conversation. Oh, in front of the children, by the way. And then wonder why they too grow up and sometimes get critical and gossipy and things about the church and its institutions and things. Ah, I just got to speak my mind. Even if it's not positive, I just got to let it out. I just got to vent my frustrations. I just got to vent my criticisms. And they come back and they haunt us and they hurt and they tear down. They don't build up. The Bible tells us that our speech should be seasoned with salt. What does that mean? It means that the words that come out of our mouths should be words of positive influence. Okay? The words that build up, the words that encourage, the words that speak well. We used to have a saying, my parents and my older siblings used to tell me when I was a kid, if you don't have nothing good to say, then what? Say nothing at all, right? And that made pretty good sense back then. You know what? As I grew up, I suddenly realized that makes pretty good sense today too, doesn't it? If I don't have something good to say, something uplifting, something positive to say, I shouldn't say. Right? Because words are part of my influence. Words, the words that I use, are closely related to the fragrance that I carry. The fragrance for Christ. I remember a sweet old lady that I used to visit in a nursing home many years ago. I'd pack on my guitar, get on my bicycle, and I'd drive into town to a nursing home on Sabbath afternoon, and there was this old lady, and I don't remember her name, to be honest with you, but I'll call her Sarah. And she was with a bunch of elderly people there at a nursing home. They're out there in the lobby waiting for us to come in and sing some songs, you know, and bring some cheer. And I'd say, Sarah, how you doing today? And Sarah would say, I'm doing good. Oh, I love the Lord. And then she would say something like, we need to tell other people about Jesus so they can love him too. She wasn't a member of my church. I don't know what church she belonged to. All I knew was when I was in the presence of this sweet little lady, Sarah, something felt good inside. Okay? Because her words were building up. Her words were talking about Jesus. Her influence, her fragrance was powerful and influential. Don't you love to be in the presence of somebody who's upbeat? Now, the opposite side of that is, how many like to be in the presence of somebody that's always down on stuff? Negative, negative. I used to know a lady, hey, going to be good weather today. Yeah, probably today, but it'll be worse tomorrow. Just wait. You know? You know, we like to be around people who are upbeat, people who use positive words, people who use words to encourage and influence for good. And we don't always like to be around people who influence for bad. So our words are part of our fragrance, the fragrance that we have on this earth. Our deeds. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus tells us, let your light so shine before people that men may see your good deeds and give glory to yourself, right? Is that what it said? Men may see your good deeds and give glory to God. You know, there's few stronger witnesses in the world, few more positive influencers in the world than deeds of kindness for someone else. Not just a word of affirmation, a word of encouragement, but maybe a pat on the back, a warm handshake. And is there anything I can do to help you today? Neighbors, maybe someone going without groceries for a while. You know, maybe someone who's in poverty, someone who's struggling with something in life. Getting involved in the struggle that they are dealing with. Letting them know they have a friend in this battle, this war that we're waging against life. Our deeds are part of our influence. The things that we do. That's why God asks us to do deeds of kindness. Okay? He wants Christians not just to be religious people. He wants us to be kind people. Oh, now that's a shock to some. I thought being a Christian was just all about reading my Bible, you know. Read my Bible. Know the truth. Come to church. Pay my tithe. And then do nothing good for anybody else. No, Christians are to be kind to other people. Sometimes till it hurts. Sacrificially kind. Okay? You know, helping where the need is to help. Picking up the hitchhiker. I was preaching a sermon in another church a few weeks ago. And I was talking about, you know, usually I pick up hitchhikers unless, you know, conditions, you know, are otherwise, or, you know. But I'd been talking about the importance of picking, you know, pick up a hitchhiker if you have an opportunity. You may have an opportunity to share a witness, you know. So I leave that church. I'm headed between Tioga County and Vestal Church. I'm late. I got to really hurry. I come to the next little town over. And what do you suppose I see? There's a young man by the side of the road with his thumb stuck out. Okay? And Wendy and I were driving. Now, we're in a hurry, right? So we were initially going to do the priest thing, you know, kind of look over, get on the other side of the road and pass by. And then Wendy and I looked at each other. And I said, I can't not pick up this hitchhiker. After all, I just preached about picking up hitchhikers. So I turned around, went back, picked him up. He needed to go down into the middle of Owego, you know, to the fire station. It was a little bit out of our way, you know. No big deal, you know. But it's like how God keeps putting these opportunities in our lives to do kind, something kind for someone. And that's how we share our influence. Not only are the words that we use, but the deeds that we do. Our obedience to God is part of our influence. To obey the commandments of God, even when society speaks out and militates against it. Have you ever heard this before? Oh, you crazy Sabbath keepers, what are you making a big deal about a day for? You be into work tomorrow, or you don't show up on Monday. Some of you have probably heard that before. Okay? I'm sorry, boss, I respect you, but tomorrow is the Sabbath. I cannot come into work because I answer to a higher authority. Okay? Our obedience, even when it's difficult and may cost us something, is part of our fragrance for Christ. God did not say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy when it's convenient, did he? God didn't say, just obey me when it's easy and all the obstacles are out of the way, did he? Right? God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. God says, obey me, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, follow me, obey my commandments, and I will bless. But I'm going to test you first. How serious are you about living a life of obedience? And yet, sometimes we're tempted to compromise. Our words, our deeds, Our obedience, even when obedience isn't always easy, because, you know, let's face it, we live in a society where obedience is kind of the last thing people want to do, right? Obedience isn't easy sometimes. But God still says, be obedient to me. And our attitudes. Okay, this ties in with our deeds. This ties in with our words, our attitudes. This person is so cheerful. This person is so upbeat. This person never speaks bad about people. This person is always speaking positively about people. What is it about this individual that is so different from the rest of us? Jesus, the difference maker in his or her life. The difference Jesus can make in the life of an individual makes that individual unique, makes that individual separate and distinct, makes that person, puts a joy, puts a shalom, puts a sense of peace into that person's life that much of the world is missing. And that, by the way, is why Paul, when he's talking about the importance of being a fragrance for Christ, he recognizes that you and I cannot do it in and of ourselves. That's why he asks this question, who is equal to such a task? Okay? who is equal to this task. Always being positive, always having positive words to say, cheerful, helpful words, always speaking words of encouragement. None of us are equal to that. We're human beings, right? But he does answer the question later. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4, he says, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves. You catch that? Not that we are able or competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Okay? That's the answer to the question, who is equal to this? All right? Our competence is not from ourselves. Our capability to be cheerful and to be doing good works and to have a happy attitude, it's not from ourselves. It's from an ongoing connection and a communication, a communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. What would happen if I took this piece of incense, lit it up, and then I rubbed it on my hand? Okay? Everywhere I went, you would smell that incense, wouldn't you? Now, what would happen if I took that piece of Limburger cheese and I rubbed it all over my other arm? Okay? Maybe I should do that. Stand in the back of the line with Limburger cheese rubbed all over my hand. You come through to shake my hand. I wonder how many of you would actually make a left turn and just kind of go out the side door, you know? Yeah, we don't want to shake this guy's hand. He smells like Limburger cheese. All right? We smell like that which we rub on, right? We smell like, we carry the fragrance of that which we are in contact with, okay? If I want to share the fragrance of Christ, then I need to be in a lot of communion with Christ, okay? I need to be in a close communion, a close contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I'm in this contact with Christ, Christ just kind of rubs off on me. You follow me? He kind of rubs off like the sweet-smelling incense, the beautiful fragrance that he is. He rubs off on me, and I become more and more like Jesus, and I bear more and more of his fragrance wherever I go. The fragrance of Christ, being in contact with Christ, being in prayerful communion with Christ. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ on every side. People can't help but notice the fragrance when you've been brushed up to Christ. In closing, I want to share a couple of short articles that came in the paper not too long ago. These were about two different individuals. This was a Dear Annie letter. Dear Annie, you know, writes into the paper, you know, gets counseling. Dear Annie, been at my job for more than 20 years, will be retiring soon. Co-workers have been asking whether I would like a party and gifts. I've made it clear I want absolutely nothing and politely suggested that they donate to the local food bank. Well, so far so good. Okay. And then he says, I don't like these people. I will not keep in touch. I am happy to leave this miserable job. So if they give me a cake or gifts, is it okay to simply express thanks? Do I have to send a thank you note? Attitude. All gifts will end up in the trash, and I have no intention of participating in any celebration. Attitude. I don't like anybody, don't like anything, don't like gifts, I don't want a party, I don't want, you know, attitude. Right? Now contrast this with a person, a fellow that just passed away the other day, there in Vestal, New York, a Dr. K.S. Agneshwar passed away in his sleep Thursday. Very place where he had treated and cured patients at the Wilson Memorial Hospital for over 30 years. This man had lived a life of service. Dr. Agneshwar began his life over 85 years ago in a rural village in India. His mother died when he was just a boy. His father was a freedom fighter for Indian independence and rarely at home. He raised his five younger sisters in a one-room apartment in Mumbai and managed to become the first in his family to go to medical school. He pursued his medical education in England and Canada before settling with his family in Vestal, New York in 1970. In his 42 years in Broome County, that's the county off that way, in Broome County. He was a beloved internist for hundreds at the Shenango Bridge Medical Group. He actively participated in the life of the community, which he loved. Okay? He was in a community, and he loved this community. His popularity as a doctor resulted in him being president of the medical staff at the Health Services Hospital. Dr. Ag, as virtually everyone called him, was as generous and warm as a person can be. He loved regaling friends and family with stories, sometimes over and over again. Loved to debate politics. Had an arsenal of quotations from which to choose for virtually every situation. And, catch this, he simply loved people. And people loved him. Every passerby became a friend. He identified completely with his chosen profession. He continued to make house calls long after the practice was nearly extinct. When's the last time you had a doctor make a house call on you, right? His patients became his family, and he kept in touch with them after he stopped practicing. Most of all, Dr. Ag was a family man. He was the patriarch of a large family that he loved more than anything else in the world, and his family returned that love with equal force. Two fragrances I just described here. One, a fragrance of discontent, of dissatisfaction, of criticism, of gossip, of tearing down, I don't want it, bad attitude, you know. And another, a fragrance for good. A man who is missed and loved by the many thousands of people who came into his sphere of influence. His sphere of fragrance. What kind of a fragrance do you want to be? What would you like if the Lord should delay his coming and you should be buried in the ground? What kind of words would you like put on your tombstone? That you done good or that you done evil? That you were a fragrance for good, that you were a fragrance for Christ, that everywhere you went, people speak well of you, not because you're drawing attention to yourself, but because you are a good person. You are a positive fragrance for Christ. Because you have been in communion with Christ, and this fragrance of Christ has rubbed off onto you. And now it rubs off to other people. A fragrance for good. God wants us to be the fragrance of Christ. Not everyone's going to be comfortable with it. Not everyone's going to be well receiving of it. But you can be a fragrance for Christ. Just like a bundle of roses given, put under the nose of someone. You can be a fragrance for Christ. And that's what he calls for us to be, a fragrance for Christ. Let us, giving thanks to God, be the smell of life unto life. When people catch the odor, the fragrance of us, may it be the fragrance of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that as we have entered into this 2012 year with all of our plans and all of our ambitions, Lord, we just pray that the fragrance of Christ that is rubbed up on us will be a powerful aroma for good in the world that each one of us inhabits. Lord, we pray that through Christ, you would help us to be positive. Through Christ, you would help us to be upbeat, that you would help us to be building people up, not tearing them down, drawing them closer to you, not driving them away. Lord, we just pray now that you help us in every way with Christ in us and Christ before us and Christ behind us and Christ on every side. May people see Jesus, and may they smell his fragrance in us. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.